I was going to say welcome back, but I guess welcome back from the weekend. Welcome to the first Monday of Advent here at Catholic Answers. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and delighted to have you with us. Did you know Advent had begun? I learned this morning from our chaplain, Advent doesn't begin the same time for everybody. Like if you're a Byzantine Catholic or a Mozarabic Catholic or a Ambrosian Rite, they all started before us. So if you're in any of those or the others that start before us, congratulations. But you can welcome us to Advent because we Latin Rite Catholics are now right in the heart of, I would guess, most people's favorite liturgical season. I don't know. I have no statistics to back that up, but I would guess Advent is people's favorite liturgical season. So we thought, well, if Advent is starting, this is the first Monday of Advent, let's get two of our very, very best guests on and we'll just have a great show. So second hour, Father Paul Scalia is going to be here to talk with us a bit about the fatherhood of God. This hour, we're joined by Chris Stefanik, and you know Chris. He does all kinds of wonderful things. He's former director of youth and young adult ministry for the Archdiocese of Denver, the founder and president of Real Life Catholic, and now the author of a brand new book, I Am Rewrite Your Name, Reroute Your Life. I say that, Chris. Well, first of all, welcome, Chris Stefanik. Because the
thanks
title,
so much for having me.
I didn't want to say I am blank.
Yeah.
But what you see on the cover is.
Yeah.
So tell us about it.
It's just a little line there because you have to fill in.
Yeah.
What you're going to name yourself. Now, God's already named us things that are beautiful and good. I mean, we have a God who finds us worth dying for, and I find that mind blowing.
Yep.
But way too often we live our lives inserting the wrong titles for ourselves. And instead of getting our sense of worth and identity and dignity from Almighty God, Christians walk around looking like everybody else, looking like they don't believe in themselves, holding their heads low, especially young people, but all over the board. And because we're getting our names from our mistakes, from our failures,
right,
from our inadequacies, from abusive situations, you name it, anywhere but God's word. So the book is a call to jump into that head game and claim what God says about you and start speaking to yourself.
So give me at least the beginnings of – oh, and I want to invite people to call. If you have a question for Chris Stefanik, like to get involved in the conversation here, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Okay, so beginner's guide. What does God think of me?
So we look on the cross and we see what God thinks of us.
Oh, man.
You know,
yeah.
Children don't learn their identity primarily by looking at themselves or their accomplishments because they have none when they're toddlers. You know, before they can say their name, they learn who they are by looking at their parents. And I clarify too, adopted kids learn it from their adoptive parents. We learn by looking at the face of a love that's bigger than we are, what we're worth, what our fundamental identity is. So before I knew I was Christopher, I knew I am precious, I'm worth dying for, I'm loved.
Right.
And the gospel does not just show us who God is. It shows us who we are. We look at the face of Jesus Christ on the cross dying for us. We look at the face of love in Bethlehem. You know, we're getting ready for Christmas. Think of the baby Jesus. This is God Almighty, creator of the universe. You know, colossal cosmic power, itty-bitty living space, right?
Big man in a little coat.
Yeah. Oh, man. Way to take it down a notch. I love that.
Sorry.
And just, you know, in our hands, looking at us, what does that say that we're worth?
Yeah, that's right.
It is mind-blowing what we're worth to God. Mm. I mean, truly mind-blowing. This is the foundation of all Catholic moral teaching. This is the foundation of all our social teaching. It's not the following of arbitrary rules. It's a living up to our dignity and what God has revealed about us. That's what this is all about.
Author Chris Stefanik here with us. What does God think of you? 888-318-7884, the number. Sometimes, however, it's not just trauma or my mess ups that keep me from accepting the title God has for me, but my pride. I'm a, you know what I am? I'm a, whatever, you fill in the blank. You know, I mean, now sexual identity is a big thing. But,
oh, yeah.
But also, not just sexual identity, but I'm an American. I'm a, whatever country I am, whatever political party I am, I choose those things instead of whatever the title is God wants me to have.
Yeah, that's a beautiful insight, brother. You know, I had a nasty fight with my son not long ago. This happens in homes with teenagers, right? It was a low moment every once in a while.
Okay.
Even in the home of an internationally renowned evangelist and author. Yeah, whatever.
I know what you mean. Yeah, right. What, you have it all together, though.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And it was a low moment as a parent where I thought, man, my kid is saying things to me I never thought a kid would say to me. And I could see he was thinking, I can't believe I'm going this far at my dad right now. So in a grace-filled fatherly moment, I just cut him off and I just said, hey, I forgive you. And he kept blabbing. And I said, hey, I forgive you. And he kept talking. I put my arm around him and said, I forgive you, buddy. And he cried on my shoulder and said, I'm sorry, Dad. The Father's love revealed to us in the gospel, God the Father's love revealed to us in the gospel, is a love that says, right where you are, right here, right now, I reach out to you with my whole self. I give myself to you. I call you to myself. I forgive you. And guess what? In all your messiness, you couldn't earn it and you don't deserve it. You know, this is at the core of Christianity. It's not about our love for God. It's about his love for us. St. John said very beautifully, he loved us first. Song of Songs says, if you were to give all that you own to purchase love, you'd be mocked. How much more the love of God? You know, so there is an element of human pride that says, I got this, I'll do it myself. But the gospel requires mankind to get on his knees and say, Lord, you bestow my name upon me. You know?
So
and it's better than what I could ever make for myself.
Yeah, I opening your book, I remembered a bishop who I heard him say one time to people. Actually, several times I heard him say this, but he said, if you ask a Christian, does God love you? They'll say yes. He goes, but if you ask him, do you know yourself as God's beloved? Most of them will be bewildered, and you start right up with, I am lovable, in the beginning of the book. So. Tell me about that.
I'm just going to soak in that for a minute because that's just a beautiful statement, man. There is that profound disconnect. And so many of us actually use our desire for holiness as an excuse to beat ourselves up.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
We're better at it than anybody. And here we have a God who says you're worth dying for. That disconnect is huge. And I know we do say at every Mass, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Within 3 minutes of saying that, what happens? God answers our cry of unworthiness and says, I declare you worthy. Not because you have it all together, but because I do.
Yeah.
Not because you love me perfectly, but because I love you perfectly. So here, take and eat. This is my body given up for you. Yeah. So yeah, what was that first one? I am lovable?
I'm lovable. Yeah, right.
Yeah. The Christian life's not primarily about the things we do to prove our love for God.
Right.
It's primarily about he loved us first. It's about opening ourselves up to what he did for us on the cross, what he does for us every day by his grace. So all the things that we do really is putting our hearts in the right posture to learn to receive. And we're the helpless children. He's our perfect and all-powerful Father. But to live in that reality, to be good at accepting love, you first have to claim the truth that you're lovable. I mean, Jesus said to people following him, love others as you love who?
Yourself. Yeah, right.
I mean, he's presuming,
yeah,
hey, if you're following me, you love yourself.
Yeah, you know? Right.
That's something that we have to start doing with our words. It's something we have to do with our actions too. Christians, you should, to really, to claim what God did for you on the cross, start loving yourself. Take time on yourself. Waste a little time on yourself. We feel selfish when we do that kind of thing. When we don't, we just leave people around us with the most burnt out version of ourselves. We got nothing left. You know?
Oh, right.
We wonder why we can't pray well.
Yeah, that's because maybe we don't at a root think that we're worth it, that we're worth the time.
Yeah, we're exhausted.
Yeah.
God's saying, hey, enjoy your life. Like I gave you the gift of life. The biggest way you can thank me is enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Stop hating on yourself with your actions. And most of all, the book really addresses those words inside your head.
Yeah. 888-318-7884, the number. Chris Stefanik, our guest. We're talking about how God sees you. How do you in your own mind distinguish this? Because I know that you do, Chris, between this idea of allowing yourself to be labeled, I guess, by God, not just taking the world's label for you or your worst moments label for you, but allowing yourself to be labeled by God.
Yeah.
But how do you distinguish that from, like, we have so much of the self-esteem kind of movement.
Yeah.
You go, girl, and all this kind of, I'm great, and you just need to think you're
self-help.
Great.
Self-help.
Yeah, okay, so.
Self-help. How does it distinguish? Now there's some good elements of self-help books out there. In that, there's the concept that you need to think about what you're thinking. And jump in there and play a role.
Right.
When the evil one's beating you up, you don't just every day be a passive recipient of that war that's happening in the intellect between heaven and hell meeting between your ears, right? You have to jump in there. But there's an astronomical level of power when you bring the word of God in that self-help just doesn't have. I mean, I don't think we've ever told young people to love themselves more. I don't think we've ever had more self-loathing and more confusion around identity.
Right.
Because we're telling them, love yourself, believe in yourself, but essentially giving them an atheistic worldview that says, at the end of the day, you are a lump of self-aware molecules. You're a cosmic accident. Your destiny is nothingness, but believing yourself. there's a little disconnect here.
You can do it. There's a big disconnect. I have never thought of it quite that way, Chris.
Right. Whatever you do at the end of the day doesn't matter because you're a cosmic dust and will disappear to nothingness.
But you're awesome.
You can do anything. You can do anything. Well, why do I care that I could do anything? I could also do nothing, and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So Christians should be way ahead of the game. In people that you could pick out of a crowd and say, that guy's holding his head up high. He might be poor. He might be sick. He might have gone through horrible things. But he walks around looking like he's got a sense of inner dignity that nothing takes away. We have the truths to back up the self-talk. And we need to start claiming that. We need to start living in that.
Chris Stefanik is our guest. Rewrite your name, reroute your life. Are you amazing? Are you strong? Are you beautiful? Does God say those things about you? Does God say that you're lovable? As a matter of fact, he does. And we'll take your calls on that subject when we come back. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Today and tomorrow only, we're offering free shipping on our two biggest sellers, Made This Way and Why We're Catholic. Both of these books will make discussing difficult topics a little bit easier for you during the holidays. If you're like, I don't know how to answer that. Well, it's in there somewhere. It's in one of these books, and they're gentle and they're full of charity, but some clarity for you too in there. And so the next 2 days, you get the free shipping on those. And you can also save money on hundreds of other items in our online store, shop.catholic.com. Just use the promo code CALive.com at shop.catholic.com and save today.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim. Tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A blessed Advent to you and yours. Delighted to be with you. Thanks for being with us. I'm Cy Killett, your host. This hour we have Chris Stefanik with us, internationally acclaimed speaker, author, TV host, all those kind of things. And so you go out there and you talk to people And now you have this book where you want to have us rethink the labels that we put on ourselves. I guess is that the correct way to say that? Rethink them. And
that's a great way to say it, brother. Yeah, it is.
And so, when you go out and talk to people face to face about this, what kind of reactions are you getting?
You know, one of the reasons I decided to write this book is at these events, the amount of people who hear the gospel and for the first time I see this light go off in their eyes that. And these evangelistic outreach events we do called Reboot, we're reaching a lot of people who don't usually go to church, you know. But you see the light just go on, they're not only realizing who God is, but who they are at the same time. I had a woman come to my event recently. Afterwards, she came up to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, "You know, I had had 12 miscarriages."
Oh,
which is tragic.
Yeah,
she said, "For years, I was convinced that I'm cursed by God." And she said, "I didn't even realize I was telling myself that. And tonight I claim the reality that I'm a beloved daughter of God." There's a profound new direction in someone's life.
Yes.
When they claim that new identity. I mean, the reason this book's so dang important is that the way we start to label ourselves impacts literally everything. The way we feel, the way that we act, the way we hold ourselves, the things that we put up with from other people or don't. The dignity we demand, half the sins we fall into. I mean, some are just raw temptation, but some are really acting out of some sort of wound or I don't believe that I'm worth more than this, so therefore I'll just do that. I realize I'm a beloved daughter of God. And it struck me that when she said, "I didn't realize I was telling myself that." And my goodness, we tell ourselves the most horrific things without even knowing it.
Isn't that? Yeah, we do.
I believed I was cursed, but I didn't know I was telling myself that. Oh my gosh. And it's almost, I think, a trick of the evil one, man. Because when you're whispering it to yourself, you don't hear how horrific it sounds. So you don't even know you have to deal with it. But it really is no less than a battle between the powers of heaven and the powers of hell. And the front lines between your ears. And St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We got to jump into that battle, boy.
So we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I have these thoughts. I don't know that I have them even. I mean, that in the case of this woman, and I imagine for all of us, that's the case. I never realized I was thinking that way, that I was putting a limit on myself that way, or putting a limit on God's love for me in that way. So how do you crack that?
Yeah. First step is to get the book on reallifecatholic.com. No, really. The first step is honestly conversations like this, man.
Okay.
For me, this was a new concept for me as I encountered more and more people who were doing this without realizing it. And then I started talking about it, just simply bringing this topic up. I mean, even if someone doesn't get the book, I think half the ministry win of the book is putting it out there and saying, "Hey, did you know you don't have to think the way you do?" You just see the brain start to work, and I was like, what am I thinking? I don't have to think that? Gosh.
Right.
That's the first step toward redemption and liberation within the mind. You know, to be transformed, St. Paul tells us, by the renewal of our minds. There's work there that we have to activate the will in our process of thinking. And our life follows that when we do that, a new direction.
It does take the little matter of believing what Christ says, both in his words and in his actions about us, though. I think it's not that easy to believe that you are that much loved.
It's not. We think that Christianity is about how hard it is for us to love God. And at the end of the day, I think it's a bigger battle to believe that there's a power strong enough to create space and time, deeper than the ocean, wider than the sky, all of it aimed at the chair that you're sitting in right now. Right now.
Yeah.
Right now. And that the God of the universe would find us worth dying for if you had to do it all for one person listening right now, he would have. What's your proof? Every time you go to Mass, he's not giving you a piece of himself. Everything the infinite God is yours. And of course, thanks to his infinity, he can give his whole self to the next person in line too. But that doesn't mean he's giving himself any less to you. I mean, to soak in these realities is overwhelming. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to call for in that book is, you know what, let's let ourselves be overwhelmed by this for a minute.
Right. Right. Fair enough. Ready to take some calls? Chris Stefanik?
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Yeah.
Chris Stefanik, brand new book. Oh, let me look. The publisher is – oh, you did it. Okay. So it's Real Life Catholic. So you can go to reallifecatholic.com to get the book? Is that
That's
fair?
It, yep.
That's a fair thing to say?
It's a fair thing to say.
All right.
We're running out quick, though.
Let's go to Ron in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm glad you're running out quick. Ron?
Yeah, thank God.
Your question for Chris Stefanik.
I was just basically commenting, Chris, you sound very positive, and it's given me some hope in myself just listening to you.
Praise God. Thank you, brother.
Not even reading your book, so I'd just like to thank you for what you have to say. And
thank you, Ron. Thank you.
I look forward to reading your book.
Ron, praise God, man. There's, and this is not like a false positive energy. I mean, that's real. A lot of it comes from recognizing who I am as a child of God. I can have a hard day. You know, I go through hard times like anybody else. Sometimes it gets my mood down. But, you know, when you have the tools to fight that interior battle, you know, I think of St. Paul in prison saying things like, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And I'm not sure I would take his letter to the Philippians as seriously if he wrote it from a beach while sipping a Corona. Like, yeah, easy for you to say right now, buddy. You know?
Yeah.
But he was in prison waiting for his execution, writing, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. And he would write about who he is. You know, I'm pressed. I'm not crushed. I'm persecuted. I'm not abandoned. I'm struck down. I'm not destroyed. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. So he had the right I am in his head. You know, even in those worst moments, he could see conqueror, victor. Well, those words are understatements for what I am in Christ. And he would think about the glory to come and the glory within him. And those thoughts set his mood in the right direction. Now, there's chemical imbalances and stuff. There's things you might need to go to counseling for to help with the emotional life. But I think for a lot of us, 90% of our battles can simply be won by saying, you know what, I need to grab hold of my thinking and lift it up to the things of God, like St. Paul did in prison. It gives us a different attitude.
Ron, thank you so much for that call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Nope. All right, Ron, thank you. You do have that effect, Chris.
Thanks, man.
But it's the thing is having received it, though. You can't give what you haven't received, and you have to have received the fact that, I'm okay. I'm not that great of shakes. Wait a second. I'm just beloved by the entirety of possible love. Yeah,
that's right. And every morning I wake up, my first form of prayer is gratitude. And I often engage the prayer of gratitude before I open my eyes. That reminds me that, you know, who am I? Well, one of the names that a child of God has is I'm blessed. Even if you're going through hard times, you know, I've been on mission trips to Haiti and those people are going through hard times, man. I mean, I've talked to missionaries in Africa who will say, well, at least it's not as bad as Haiti. I mean, this is the poorest place on earth. The kids there tend to smile more than the kids in the United States. Why? They have a whole lot of gratitude. I mean, it's just, I'd say their primary form of prayer. I've been to Mass in Haiti where at the end of Mass, they just start doing praise and worship for like an hour. There's worship, there's thanks, there's gratitude, and it has a huge impact on the way they carry themselves and this interior sense of joy in a way that money just simply can't buy you.
No, it seems like that even the Lord said, you know, there's something about focusing too much on money that pushes it away from you. That having
right.
money is a people say nowadays, I don't know if you know this, but I'm kind of a big deal. You wrote an entire chapter in here. I'm kind of a big deal.
Yep. You are a way bigger deal than having money or fame or pleasure or power could possibly give you, right? It is mind blowing. I mean, really, just think about this. On a biological level, you're a big deal. I mean, there's, I don't know, how many trillions of stars out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tens of trillions of living cells in your body.
Uh-huh.
And in this vast universe, one living cell is way more astounding than a very large lifeless star. You know, there's something about you on even a physical level that makes you a big deal. But above all that, you have a soul, an intellect, a will. You're made in the image and likeness of God. And it is easy to stand in front of an ocean and say, I'm small. How could God notice me? I mean, some people think of the vastness of the universe and it leads them to atheism, which has always blown my mind. Look how vast the universe is. How could I matter? You matter more than all this. You're made in the image of God.
Chris Stefanik is our guest. He wants to help you rewrite your name and reroot your life. In the light of the love of God, his brand new book, I Am. We'll be right back with more from Chris and your calls to 888-31-TRUTH right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Advent is upon us and Christmas approaches. Catholic Answers wants you to know about our annual Christmas sale with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter the promo code CALIVE18 at checkout. With great new products on doctrine, church history, morality, apologetics, and much more, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com today to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout and save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
The Catholic Church claims to be the religion in which the fullness of truth resides, but at times getting to the heart of any particular question of doctrine or morals can lead not only to personal confusion, but conflict and even disagreement among Catholics. In his new book, Teaching with Authority, Jimmy Akin sets the record straight. Teaching with Authority isn't about understanding specific teachings of the faith, but rather about understanding Catholic teaching itself. A unique, valuable, and long overdue resource for Catholics as well as those inquiring about the faith, Teaching with Authority will help deepen your understanding of what the Church teaches by showing you, maybe for the first time, how, why, and where it does. Get your copy of Teaching with Authority today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on More to Life, Guilty as Charged.
Are you struggling with feelings of guilt? We're going to help you heal.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, our guest this hour, Chris Stefanik. Next hour, Father Paul Scalia will be here. As I told you, we're trying to really open Advent strong. Father Paul Scalia will be here to talk about the fatherhood of God. I guess in a certain way, you could say this hour is about being a son or daughter and accepting that fatherhood. And next hour is about the Father himself. Chris, Lori in Atlanta would like to talk to you. You ready to take another call?
Talk to me, Lori.
Lori in Atlanta, Georgia. Probably listening on the Quest, I'm guessing. Lori, happy to have you.
I am. I'm listening on the Quest on my phone.
Isn't that awesome that the Quest is there in Atlanta now?
You know what? We are so blessed. We are just so blessed.
I know.
Can't even begin to tell you.
That's a big city.
I wanted to make a quick comment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to make a quick comment, Chris.
Talk to me.
You nailed it, bud. You know, I think it's the most transformative part of my journey and in all these decades was when I understood emphatically that the Lord knew me and he wanted to know me better. And that he loved me.
Mm.
So,
well, you're going to have forever to think about that.
Isn't that awesome?
It is. It is awesome.
It's so friggin' awesome. I know.
Now, I don't know how they talk in Atlanta, but
that's how we talk in Atlanta.
We should have our minds blown by this, Lori. people forget to let this blow their minds, you know, and let it inform who they are and how they think about themselves and life, how they feel. You know, this is amazing stuff. The Lord loves me. You know, I think of the Magnificat. That I love that song of praise, you know, from our Blessed Mother. That my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. There's something really unique about that song of praise. It's that she's not just thinking about the presence of God outside of her and praising him up there in the heavens. She's uniquely praising the glory of God planted within her. She's glorifying God by saying, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. His glory, his presence, all wrapped up in all that she is. And there's something about each human being that he found worth dying for. That truly is mind-blowing. And there's a particular way that he shines his glory through each of us. I think of the saints as kind of a, you know, a prism, and light hits it, and a different color shoots out of that, you know, in every angle. And that, those are the saints, and that's us. There's ways that just who you are is going to glorify God for all eternity as you stand in his presence. You know, and every human being shines that light and that glory of the Lord in a different way, just by being who we are. In him, we're going to glorify him forever. So, yeah, forever. Let's rejoice in that fact that he loves us.
Lori, thanks.
Well, I do have a statement to make, though.
Oh, okay. Is it a written statement, or will we need to?
No, the real reason why I called.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's get to that, Lori.
Okay. Chris was talking about self-talk and negative self-talk. And something the Lord gave me a few years ago that has really helped me, either negative self-talk, or if you're stewing over something, like a lot of us lie in bed at night and just stew over stuff. And the Lord put on my heart that every time I catch myself doing that, I just start saying the Hail Mary over and over and over again.
Beautiful.
And it literally obliterates those feelings. It's wonderful.
That's a beautiful insight. You know, too often we try to take on some negative presence or thought by jumping in there and trying to figure out the problem. And our, you know, God bless our brains. Thank you for our brains. They're problem-solving computers. That's what they're supposed to do. You know, but the answer is often not in the place where our minds are going, and our thoughts are going off the rails at 2 a.m, obsessing on a problem. The solutions to half our problems are in calm down, be quiet, think about the Lord. And I love prayers like the Hail Mary and the Rosary, and things that in this very simple, I get a mantra, for lack of a better word, but really it's not just a mantra that's centered on nothing, it's centered on the Lord. You know, we're getting out of our heads. Another great thing to do if you really can't sleep at night, open up the Gospels, start reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, St. Paul said, again, from prison, whatever is beautiful, whatever is noble, whatever is good, you know, think of those things. I mean, he gave us incredible advice about how to keep our spirits high in the worst of circumstances. And it has everything to do with what we think of. So the Hail Marys, man, and meditating on the mysteries from Scripture of the Rosary while you're saying those Hail Marys, what a great way to lift your heart and mind up. God bless you, Lori.
Lori,
thanks for calling.
Thank you.
I didn't know if there was more statement, Lori. I wanted to just stay out of the way if there was more statement coming. But that was a beautiful call, and thank you. And I tell you what, I always feel so excited about when people call from the Quest, because it's a new radio station there in Atlanta.
Awesome.
And Atlanta's one of the last really big cities that needed a Catholic radio station. So we're really grateful to everybody who worked on that.
Awesome. Praise God.
All right. Here's one that I don't even know if you should have put this chapter in the book. All right, I'm not criticizing you, but
go ahead, criticize me.
I am attractive, and then
yes,
okay. First of all, I should tell folks that under every one of these assertions, there's an assertion each day. You know, I am loved. I am forgiven. And now here on day 30, I am attractive, but under every one of them, there is a scripture quote that is there to help you to understand this assertion. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, from Proverbs. That's the scripture you chose. I don't always feel attractive. I'm going to be really honest with you.
You get look in the mirror and just say, good morning, good looking, every time you wake up, right?
all the mirrors out of my house.
You go through your day with a grin that makes people think, what's that guy got up to sleep? Man, he must, that guy's attractive. I can see he believes it, man. You know, and really, that within us, which is good for another, should attract them.
Yeah,
you have things to bless the world with. You know, people should be attracted to the inner light that each person has, to the inner, to the gifts. You know, and not just physically, but just the spiritual gifts. There is an attractiveness about each person. You know, a flower attracts bees. Why? Because it's got something good for the bee in that flower. So it's got that posture of I'm opening up. And if a bee passes by, I'm staying open because this is who I am. I'm not going to close up. We have little – I mean, kids from the youngest age, are just if someone passes them up for a dance, they start to close up and they think, I got nothing to give. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. The Lord says you got something to give. We should wake up every day and say, I am attractive even if no one's attracted to me.
Right.
I have something to bless this world with. I'm going to carry myself that way today.
But I imagine you have probably known those people in your life. I certainly have, where you go, there is just something in that person that is so like it is. Mm-hmm. They just draw you because of the beauty of what they've become, what they are.
Yeah. That inner magnetism.
Yeah.
You know, Mother Teresa had that. She was not going to be on the cover of GQ or whatever. I don't know, like any Vanity Fair, any worldly magazine that holds up physical beauty. But people flew halfway around the world to the worst slums in the world to watch her serve people, and they'd be in tears as they watched her love. I mean, that's attractiveness. You know, no beauty queen is going to get people to fly halfway around the world to see them just serving people in the slum just because of who they are, you know, unless they're famous, it's a photo op or something. I don't know. But,
right.
I mean, this is the holiness, the life of holiness makes people unbelievably attractive.
Michelle on Facebook wants to know about your brand new book, I Am, Rewrite Your Name, Reroute Your Life, and from reallifecatholic.com is where you can get it. She wants to know, is this a specifically Catholic book, or could a Protestant benefit from it as well? And I think the subtext of that is, does God love Protestants too? Or
I hear told that
you've heard rumors. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear.
I'm not theologians are debating this still, but yeah. No, there is a universality in this book. There's also a website, rewriteyourname.com. If you have a evangelical friend, you want to send them to something that might be more palatable than reallifecatholic.com to get the book, and that reroutes them to reallifecatholic.com. But hey, there it is, rewriteyourname.com. This really is for everybody, and this is basic scriptural meditations. You know, I draw in some sacramental images here and there one of our Protestant brothers and sisters, well, many of them who believe in sacraments, it'll resonate with. And those who don't, I think they'll still think, okay, I get where you're going with that. But the 99% of the book is simply down-to-earth practical meditations that are based in Scripture, that this is for all Christians. I'd also say, though, that there's an evangelistic power in this kind of book, because you give it to someone who doesn't even believe in God, and it shows them just how life-giving following Christ can be. You know, and I think if anything's going to set us apart now, it's getting out of the posture of constant defensiveness with the world and going on the offense and saying, hey, we got something better. We have something even better than self-help, self-talk. We got God talk. Let's see how this impacts your life. Try this book out. See if it makes you happier.
I feel like if I do that, though, I'm going to have to give up all my outrage. And I really am. I love my outrage.
I tell you. It's so fun to be angry.
Yeah,
right.
Yes, right. And that person, I suppose, that we're angry with because of ideological or political or economic differences or whatnot, that's the very person that we're called to love.
That's the truth, brother. That's true. And it's not easy.
No.
That's where we got to go. You know, with a bold joy right now. I think it's what the world needs. It's the kind of witness the world needs right now. Yeah. Stop letting the world push us back into a corner. We have the best news ever about who God is, what the meaning of life is, what my call and dignity and destiny is. There's no secular philosophy that remotely compares with what we're holding out to the world. And we just got to share it boldly and with love.
Chris Stefanik is our guest. The book, I Am, Rewrite Your Name, Reroute Your Life, and God Has a Name for You. He's got a whole bunch of things he wants to tell you about yourself, but you got to listen, and that's what the book is there for, to help you listen. If you'd like to talk with Chris, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888 318-7884. And right now, because it is the first Monday of Advent here, I want to let you know we have a free ebook we want to give you. A few people have missed these ebooks because they don't stay up forever. So if you go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page, you can download a free copy of The Holy Family, an Advent companion, an ebook just for you. But you got to go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page to get it. It's nowhere else. Go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page. You'll find a little thing that says The Holy Family, an Advent companion. Click on that. All the magic will happen. I don't know how it works, but you get a free ebook. Right back. More with Chris Stefanik right after this.
Have a question? We've got answers.
Catholic Answers.
I love it.
Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Yeah, first I love the show, but I just wanted to call to encourage that previous caller who called about the Latin Mass and just encourage him to keep giving it a try and especially try to meet some folks outdoors and let his wife meet some people, and that does make that experience so much better. And thank you for your historical background, and it was a good interpretation of the history.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Chris Stefanik, our guest. God loves you, his message. God wants you to rethink your, maybe a lot of the things that are even in the subtext of your life. Like you talked about that woman who said, hey, I've been thinking for a long time that I was cursed by God. And you sharing the gospel with me suggests to me, I am not cursed by God. I'm his beloved daughter.
Right.
Those kind of changes are the changes that make all the difference in life. Lots of people on the line.
That's
so
true.
I'm going to take some calls and just move through with as many as we can. Okay, Chris?
Let's do it.
All right. Dominic in Iowa listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. You are up next. Your question for Chris Stefanik.
Howdy, how are you guys doing?
Very well.
Good. Quick question. I guess I just want to thank you, A, for your ministry, and B, for being a blessed God of and brother of God and brother in Christ. So I appreciate it.
Anyhow, thank you, brother.
This is my question. No worries. My question, I guess, is it's more about the book. Maybe I'm reaching for a free copy. my question is, I guess, does it speak a little bit about, our sinfulness, how we can come out of it? And I get it. You know, I from what I've been listening to today is that the understanding is that you're focusing solely on the positivity of God, how God loves us, not the. And obviously, you're talking about that God loves us as people and not the sin, I guess that's my question is how does your book relate to that aspect of our faith?
Yes, it would be easy for folks to hear what I'm saying and think, well, is he saying that we have to change our lives or mend our lives? And I'd say yes. Thanks for asking, and that's a great point to clarify on radio, and it's clarified in the book too. I mean, Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, go and sin no more. But at the same time, he reminded her of her dignity. And it was that reminder of her dignity that this man came and stood beside her, defended her, raised her up. I think that's what gave her the power to go and sin no more. You know, there's a lot of sins that people fall into because they simply don't know who they are. Revelations calls the devil the accuser of our brothers. He's the one that wants to define us in light of our sin. So while we leave our sin and fight with sin, that battle throughout life, we never define ourselves in relation to our sin, but in relation to the saving love of God for us. And I think that helps kick half the bad habits we have, that we recognize our sin as unworthy of us.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah, brother.
Thank you. As I said, there are a ton of calls, so I'm going to say thanks for the call. I'm going to keep moving on. I really do appreciate the contribution, but I don't want to leave anybody out if I can help it today. Jeff in Omaha, Nebraska, also listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Jeff, your question for Chris Stefanik.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
In listening to you, I'm not familiar with your work but it reminds me of a book I read many years ago that helped me, but it was when I was an atheist, and it was called The Ties That Bind, and I apologize, I can't really remember the author right now, but I was wondering if you could maybe compare or contrast the message in your book versus that one, if you've heard of it, but I think by the title you could kind of understand where he was going with that.
And if yeah. I've never heard of that book, so I wouldn't really be able to speak to that. But there's not a ton of books, sadly, that I've read that do what this book does. I hope that other people will read this and start copying it. I'd like to see a wave of books that help people rewrite how they talk to themselves based on the Word of God. Keep moving.
Okay, Jeff, thank you very, very much. I don't know what's the matter with me and the phones today, but next up is Walt in Pennsylvania, listening on the TuneIn app. Walt, your question for Chris Stefanik.
What's up, brother?
So, Chris, hi, Chris. I appreciate your positive attitude, that sort of thing, but I feel like sometimes we have this church of nice going on, and we've got serious problems. We've got people being abused by perverts, and they're hiding it, and we've got millions of babies being murdered worldwide every year.
Oh yeah,
it seems like everybody's sort of numb about it all. It's frustrating to me. I think we got to be men and move like men. I mean, Chris, if there were 12-year-olds being killed down the street from you, would you just say everything's fine? I don't think so,
brother. I am not saying everything's fine in the world or in the church, but within myself, the way I tackle the things that happen in my daily life, I do it from a standpoint of knowing my dignity in Christ. And when I fight injustice in the world or help the poor, you know, and I'm engaged in a lot of works to renew the church in the world and help people who are struggling, it's from a standpoint of knowing their dignity in Jesus Christ. You know, and sometimes that demands that we get angry about things, absolutely, but with a different kind of spirit, with the kind of spirit St. Paul got angry about things, you know. Where he didn't dwell in a spirit of misery, despite what was going on in the world. I don't think the early Christians, I mean, the early Christians had plenty they could sit around and complain about all day. They were getting eaten alive by lions in the Colosseum with their neighbors cheering on. But their entire focus was not complaining about the policies of Caesar. If they were, and that's all they dwelt on all day, all the time, I don't think the church would be around today.
I hear what you're saying, but here's my point. There are other people being murdered every day in this country. And it just seems like everybody goes along with business as usual, and they don't think they have some kind of responsibility to try to stop it. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, and you're speaking about abortion right now, are you?
I am. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, fight the battle, brother. You know, I'll be at the March for Life this month. Now, this is ironic. I mean, if you go to pro-choice marches in D.C., There's not an ounce of joy there at all. If you go to the March for Life in D.C., I'm going to film one of our shows there. It's the paradox of Christian life, maybe. You know, this is a heavy topic, but there's a spirit of victory in the people who are marching. You know, although we carry around the weight in our hearts and remember why we're marching, and I'll be out there probably in bitter cold, uncomfortable, and offering up as penance for the sins of my nation. There's still something going on of a spirit of joy. And I don't know, man. I don't know how to put those things together, but they go together.
thanks, Walt, very, very much. Chris won't say it, but one of my favorite Chris Stefanik appearances was you gave an absolutely beautiful talk at One Life LA, which Archbishop Gomez started there with all the folks up in LA, which is just a magnificent pro-life in every way, pro-life kind of thing, not just anti-abortion, but a real full throated defense of what it is to be a human being there. And you gave a great talk there. So I don't want Walt to feel like you're being lax in this department.
Heck no. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if people were on there giving positivity talks and never engaging these issues, I'd have concerns. But that's not the reality going on here, not remotely.
Walt, God bless you, because it is the good fight. It's the fight of our time to see that human life and human dignity are restored. The joy of the gospel helps with that, though. It doesn't get in the way. It helps with it. And let us
gives a reason for living. It gives the compelling reason to be pro-life.
I have noticed that. Yes, you are correct, Chris Stefanik. Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to convince anybody if we can't show them that life is worth living and that we think it is by the way we carry ourselves through our lives.
Kate in Lincoln, Nebraska, you have lots of calls from Nebraska, Iowa area, sometimes called the Midwest. Happy to have you, Kate. Your question for Chris.
Thank you, Chris. First of all, it's really a comment. I just really want to say thank you. But this last weekend, my teenage son gave me just a mouthful of words that he thought about me as a parent. And I can't tell you, this whole weekend I've been crying and talking to other moms, and they've been giving me their suggestions or whatever. And I turned you on, and you're talking about the same thing happening with your son. And you just said, I forgive you. And you hugged him, and I forgive you. And I thought, how can I say that? But in thinking about it and walking into the other room with tears in my eyes, I thought, okay, I forgive you. And I said the name of my son, and I said, I forgive you. And Chris, something came over me. It was the Holy Spirit. I know it was. I just feel different. In explaining to you and hearing you say that, I thought, how can I do that? And you know what? The Holy Spirit said, because God said, you need to do it. And I can't tell you how different I am feeling, and I just want to say thank you.
I got tears in my eyes. I thank you for calling and sharing that. That's the power of the Word of God when we claim it for ourselves and preach it out loud in our own lives. God didn't give us His Word, so we wait for everybody else to preach it to us, but so we start claiming it and preaching it right there in your living room to say out loud. When you break bonds of darkness, when you say, hey, I forgive you in the name of Jesus Christ to your kid. And how can I do that? Great question. I mean, it's impossible, as you just experienced, without the grace that comes from God. Love your enemies. Heck, love your kids. Those things are impossible sometimes without divine grace. Love is a participation in the very life of God. We can no more do that as Christ did than we can fly just by jumping off the ground. So I thank God for His grace striking you right there as you heard that call. Stay in that headspace.
Kate, thank you. You really blessed us with that call. God bless you for that. I do want to try to get one more in. It's going to have to be quick. I'm sorry to do that to you, Linda in Michigan. You are up next. Can you make your question kind of quick for Chris?
Okay, well, I actually just wanted to share that when I know I'm being troubled by negative self-talk, but I don't know what it specifically is, I will pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show me what it is, and often He's able to help me understand so that I can then apply the correct scripture or speak truth to myself. And I go to YouTube to listen to praise music with Philippians 4, where it says, think about whatever is true, noble, worthy of praise. I'll add the word myself. Think about whatever is true about myself, whatever is noble about myself. And I just wanted to share, there's a neuroscientist that says it takes 3 21-day cycles, 63 days, to get something that's untrue in your unconscious mind, speaking truth to it, for it to actually come into the conscious mind and be released.
All right, Linda, I'm going to let Chris respond because we just have to go pretty soon.
Yep, and I don't know how long it takes. It takes however long it takes, right? Habits are a lot of work. They're a lot of work. I mean, one of the tips in my book is 33 days of short meditations to help you start speaking truth to yourself. One of the tips is read the book again, read it again, read it again, until you start making a habit of breathing life-giving words into your own heart and mind. And I'm not sure the lies matter too much or where they came from so much as it matters to claim the Word of God and start today speaking His truth into your own life.
Thank you, Linda, so much for that call. Thank you, Chris Stefanik, for a very fine hour. Really appreciate it. Starting us off for Lent, very strong. The book I Am, Rewrite
for Advent.
Advent, yes. But I do want to tell you where to get the book. I Am, Rewrite Your Name, Reroot Your Life. Get it for yourself. Get it for your kids. RealLifeCatholic.com is the place to go to get it. Where are you speaking next, Chris? Anywhere? Can people find you anywhere?
Going to Texas this week. I go to reallifecatholic.com. You'll see where I'm speaking somewhere different.
All right. Check it all out at reallifecatholic.com. Coming up, Father Paul Scalia here to talk with us about the fatherhood of God as we continue preparing the way during this Advent.